At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. This Thanksgiving weekend, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling cases and conversations that we've had in the last year. Here's another one of those conversations.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
This last week, I had the opportunity to sit down and have an in-depth conversation with private investigator Thomas Brennan. Tom is the private investigator that's been hired by the parents of Ellen Greenberg, Joshua and Sandy Greenberg, as they search for justice and answers in the death of their daughter. A death that was quite clearly a homicide, considering she was stabbed 20 times. Several of those stab wounds, fatal blows, which would make it a physical impossibility for her to continue stabbing herself up to 20 times. The problem with this is her death has been labeled as suicide by the Philadelphia Police Department, a department which refuses to investigate the death further and refuses to change the cause of death to homicide, which it rightfully should be. Why is that? Why is it so difficult? And why are so many refusing to speak the truth about the death of Ellen Greenberg? We discuss all of that and more in this five-part series, our conversation with Thomas Brennan, private investigator into the death of Ellen Greenberg. New episodes every day this week, Monday through Friday, here on the podcast. There's so many directions that you'd think, well, if this person's not going to cooperate, maybe that person will cooperate. But there's whatever is going on here, they have a very strong hold against any direction or any headway that anyone can try and make into finding answers about what was going on here. And I hesitate, you know, it's bizarre to me that Samuel Goldberg has not been considered a suspect. I know he's off living his life now elsewhere, but why hasn't any sort of investigation just been done with him for just a little bit, at least to clear his name, if anything? But it seems, did they ever have a chance to look at his devices or anything of that nature?
No.
So a lot of the evidence that could point to someone, if it was possibly him, is now gone. And that's probably, if that was the game, if that's what was going on, they certainly succeeded at that by having a lot of those things wiped away, if that's indeed what was happening.
Well, you know, there is no way in heck they're going to do anything. The crime scene has been completely destroyed because the loft that Ellen and Sam were in, those lofts were involved in two different floods over time. And they've been, you know, where the apartment that they had has, you know, that whole thing has been completely gutted, you know. And so, you know, as far as anything, you know, anything coming from the scene, that is never, that's not going to happen.
Sure.
Unless, until, you know, we see what the police have to offer. Okay. And here's the other thing, Tony. I don't know if you know. Okay. Guy D'Andrea.
Okay.
Okay. Guy D'Andrea was an assistant district attorney for the city of Philadelphia when this occurred. Okay. So he asks I befriended him. Okay. He asks his supervisor if he could see the Greenberg file and take a look at it.
Yeah.
His supervisor. Okay. Who is Jennifer Selber, okay, tells him, yes, you can. Well, he finds the case in the closet, covered up with some Christmas decorations, with not even a file number assigned to it.
Oh, my God.
So he spends the next 2 days going through the file. One of the things that's missing, okay, if you'll take a look at the autopsy, okay, you'll see the paragraph in there that says, the specimen of the spinal cord was reviewed by Dr. Lucy Rourke, okay?
Okay.
And Dr. Rourke says, well, it's not severe enough and the victim could continue to harm herself, okay? So as he's going through that file, he doesn't see a copy of, you know, Dr. Adams's report. He calls the police. The police say, we don't have it. He calls the ME's office. The ME's office says, it doesn't exist. Okay? Now, you have this paragraph in there that Dr. Osborne put in there. And he says, you know, deposition-wise, he said, he hand-walked it. Could you see an individual walking through about a foot and a half of snow with this specimen, okay, from the ME's office over to CHOP, you know, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, okay, to have Dr. Adams take a look at it, okay? I called Dr. Adams. Dr. Adams says, you know, Tom, I've never heard of the case. I don't know who the Greenbergs are. I don't know anything about this case. And if I had known anything about it, I would have submitted a report and submitted an invoice for my work.
Sure.
There, no report exists and no invoices. There are reports and invoices prior to that. Okay. Dr. Adams did all the neural work for the ME's office in Philadelphia until she retired. Okay. She was not an employee, but, you know, she was like a consultant.
Yeah.
There are reports and invoices, you know, from before the 26th and 27th and 28th. Okay. Before that and after that, after the 28th, there are none for the 26th, 27th, and 28th.
There's so many things here. Let me ask you this, because obviously the obvious villain in cases like this, we look at the significant other. And there's obviously some suspicious things surrounding Samuel Goldberg in terms of what was said and his seeming indifference to his fiance being murdered or suicide and not having a whole lot of interest in the investigation of that. But is this something where, I mean, it conveniently looks like it could be possibly him, but never truly investigated? Or is there something else or someone else that we're completely unaware of, is not really on the public's radar, that would cause the authorities and all of these people to be in on some sort of a cover-up? Although many probably, if they are, don't even aware what they're covering up or why they're covering it up. But is there something deeper that we're looking at here beyond Samuel Goldberg? Is there other suspects in this case? I know Sam's not truly a suspect, but just from the outside looking in.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned right now, what I would like to see done is have this change from suicide to either undetermined or homicide.
And why is that? What does that open the door to by
because
having that happen?
Once that's done, then you can just pursue a criminal investigation, a legitimate criminal investigation. Okay. And when that is done, and we pursue a criminal investigation, there are things like, Tony, okay, two knives were used in this homicide, a smooth-bladed knife and a serrated knife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A serrated knife is found in Ellen's chest.
Okay.
The smooth bladed knife is not found. Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Could an individual brought it to the scene and took it away? We don't know.
Sure.
Okay. All righty. They said, well, one of the things are that she didn't display any defensive wounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's bullcrap. If you take a look at the excised wrists, okay, both wrists mm-hmm. of Ellen, there's bruising and all on both wrists.
Yeah.
So don't tell me that, you know, that there are no defense wounds. There are.
Yeah.
There are defense wounds. And, you know, it's things like that that, you know, you take a look at and, you know, and as a homicide investigator, you sit back and you go, well, cripe, what the hell is wrong with you guys?
Yeah.
You guys,
I mean, if
or
they
blind or what?
If they can't even accept basic facts of the case, things that really are not trying to be disputed, just here's what the facts are. Here's what the evidence shows. Yeah. And to not even recognize it.
You take a look at Ellen's scalp. Okay.
Yeah.
Right here, there's a 6.5 centimeter wound
mm-hmm.
that goes right down to the scalp. Right down to the scalp. That's where a majority of the blood came, okay,
mm-hmm.
at the scene. What is that? Okay. Any investigator, I mean, worth his salt, would take a look at that and say, whoo, that's either fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. Very much
she
so.
She was either fighting with the individual or trying to get away.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
There's more to come in my conversation with Thomas Brennan, private investigator into the murder of Ellen Greenberg. New segments playing Monday through Friday this week on the podcast. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of this very intriguing story. Stay with us.